Welcome to another edition of Giant Ear, the two-hour radio show created by Andrea Williams and curated by Edmund Mooney, in this case guest curated by Ricardo Arias, in conjunction with the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. We are webcast every Sunday of the month from 7 to 9 p.m. on Free 103.9, a non-profit media arts group based in Brooklyn and Accra, New York. We play interviews with sound artists, the local public, and all manner of field recordings and soundscape compositions, preferably under 20 minutes, from sound artists and designers, but also from anyone who can get their hands on a recording device and listen to the world around them. Please send your field recordings or soundscape compositions to Edmund Mooney at ened2@hotmail.com, that's ned2@hotmail.com, or at dropload.com with the same email address, or physically mail them to Edmund Mooney, 474 Warren Street, number 3, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's Edmund Mooney, 472 Warren, Warren Street, number 3, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. We'll start today's program with a historic recording made in or published in 1973 by the World Soundscape Project. The Vancouver Soundscape reads the text in the liner notes of the CD, was undertaken by researchers of the World Soundscape Project in 1973. The aim of the World Soundscape Project is to bring together research on the scientific, sociological, and aesthetic aspects of the acoustic environment. The Vancouver Soundscape is our first field study of an actual environment, that of the city in which the project originated. Let's listen then to a talk by R. Murray Sheffer, the director of the project and the person who coined the term soundscape, and the talk is on good and bad acoustic design in Vancouver.
From bylaw number 2531, City of Vancouver.
No hawker, hawkster, peddler, petty chapman, news vendor, or other person shall by his intermittent or reiterated cries disturb the peace, order, quiet, or comfort of the public.
No peace, order, quiet.
No hawker, huckster, peddler, petty chapman, news vendor, or other person shall by his intermittent or reiterated cries disturb the peace, order, quiet, or comfort of the public.
Peace, order, quiet, or comfort of the public.
Disturb the peace.
No intermittent comfort of the public.
No honker.
Disturb the quiet person.
Christ, quiet.
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 Quiet the peace. Quiet or...
Vancouver is not the only city in the world today with a noise pollution problem, nor is it the only city with a ridiculously antiquated noise abatement bylaw, part of which you just heard. In the book which accompanies these records, we have dealt with all aspects of the Vancouver soundscape, but one inescapable fact emerges. Noise is a much bigger problem today than it ever was before. It is not unusual for man to begin to value things just at the point where he is engaged in wrecking them, and so it is in the midst of the present cacophony that we've begun to listen very carefully to what is taking place around us, with the hope that if enough people can be made aware of the facts, changes might be demanded and eventually brought about. First, we want to listen. Then we must make judgments. And the more informed our judgments are, the better. I've often likened the soundscape to a huge, unshaped symphony which is taking place around us constantly, and have asked the question, do we want to become its composers, deliberately forming and regulating it? This may sound as if the soundscape is a matter exclusively for musicians. It is certainly not for them alone. But neither is it a matter for acoustical engineers alone, nor is it just a matter for sociologists and psychologists. We already know a lot about the physics of sound, and we know a lot about human reactions to sound. And composers know how to create exciting and beautiful collections of sounds. Now, these various skills have to be put together. The Vancouver Soundscape, the book and these records, is, so far as we know, the first comprehensive treatment of the acoustic environment which has attempted to concentrate on the middle ground where these various disciplines join. Our purpose has been to lay some of the foundations of a new science and art form which we have called acoustic design. A city planner designs streets, an architect designs buildings, a gardener designs parks and gardens. Why shouldn't we design the soundscape? As a matter of fact, some people are designing it for us. Muzak, or wired background music, is an attempt at acoustic design, but we think it's unsatisfactory, because it merely obscures reality with a kind of saccharescent drool. It packages unwanted sounds with a smile of contentment, but often, perhaps usually, it fails. The Muzak, in that example, fails completely to cover the low-frequency vibrations of the ventilation system. You can see this clearly in graph number 1 on the dust jacket. It was recorded at Oak Ridge Shopping Mall in Vancouver. Another type of continuous noise in modern life is that created by electrical currents, the 60-cycle hum. From the countless examples available, here is an ironical example recorded at Simon Fraser University in the library. We're standing here beside a display case in which is currently exhibited some scores of one of the 20th century's most sensitive composers, Olivier Messiaen. Let's walk downstairs. We are one floor below the display case now. Two floors down. Here's another example of bad acoustic design, also recorded at Simon Fraser University. Let's just play it to you and see if you can guess what it is. I played that noisy elevator because I wanted to contrast it with another type of elevator. This elevator is from the Empire Building on Hastings Street, erected not very long after the Great Vancouver Fire of 1886. It's a DC elevator, hence the absence of 60-cycle hum, and there is no fan noise.
we go up to the third floor, please?
Mm-hmm. I won't say that's an example of good acoustic design. It's merely that the sounds associated with the second elevator are clean and unmasked. They are what we call hi-fi rather than lo-fi. One can hear things clearly. We have mentioned in the accompanying book how noises are often deliberately engineered into new buildings in the form of ventilation or heating systems, or by means of walls of white noise. And we've mentioned the sound sewage that is expelled by such buildings onto the roofs and streets outside. Here is the exhaust from Eaton's department store, built in 1973, as it blows out over pedestrians at a bus stop outside the store. Masking is the term we use for this situation, where thick or broadband noises cover up other more delicate or diminutive sounds. A natural sound which has masking properties is water, and it is sometimes used effectively in this way, as in city fountains or waterfalls. But here is a waterfall which has been carelessly designed. It is in the Natobi Gardens at the University of British Columbia. As we move closer, you can hear the very audible whine of the generator pump used to get the water up into position to fall. A better example of water in an urban landscape is the water wheel at the conservatory in Queen Elizabeth Park. The lopsided turning of this water wheel makes it especially inviting to the ears. Actually, Queen Elizabeth Park has numerous good acoustic design features, though perhaps not all were intentionally planned. For instance, there are some interesting walking surfaces, such as this bamboo bridge. And there is a bird sanctuary with birds and water, only slightly marred by the clicking of an electric cash register. In our discussion of Stanley Park in the accompanying book, we mentioned one interesting acoustic artifact, the parabolic bridge, which sends a sound echoing up to 50 times. Let's slow down some of those echoes so you can hear them clearly. You can see these echoes on the graphic level recording, example 2 on the dust jacket of these discs. One of the interesting attractions of the Queen Elizabeth Park is a sunken garden. As one descends into it, the ambient traffic noises lift away and one is left with the sounds of nature and a waterfall. In fact, in any well-designed acoustic park, there ought to be 20-foot high earth walls, at least 50 feet thick, as screens against noisy traffic or other inharmonious sounds. A park ought to be a sound sanctuary, a quiet grove, and this is especially true where the environment around it is excessively noisy. Sometimes old buildings are also sound sanctuaries. In Vancouver's Chinatown, many of the shops and stores are amazingly quiet. Here we are in one on Pender Street. But then we walk out onto the street. In today's noise-riddled world, we must again seek the hi-fi soundscape, where all sounds have their proper time and place, where each sound can be clearly heard. This balance is to be found in nature. To recover it, we must study the cycles and rhythms of natural sounds. For example, frogs, an annual rhythm, making itself heard most conspicuously each March, then departing to make way for other sounds. The balanced relationship of sounds with their environments we call acoustic ecology. It is a balance that can be easily destroyed. Yes, the frogs returned, the farthest first, then the closer ones. but they did return. It is the graphic level recording of those frogs interrupted by that car, which we have used as the design for the dust jacket of these records and for our book. It is our way of hopefully anticipating a better future.
We've just heard of, we could call it a foundational recording in the field of soundscape research by R. Murray Schafer. That accompanied the first study by the World Soundscape Project, the Vancouver Soundscape. And we'll continue with a series of four soundscapes that I myself recorded 2 years ago in 2004, 3 years ago already, in Umbria, in the region of Umbria in central Italy. I'm going to play four recordings, two during the daytime and two at night, made at the Civitella Ranieri Center, a 15th century castle located near a small town called Umbertide. And we'll hear recordings made during the daytime, as I just said, and two nighttime recordings, in the last one of which we'll hear also the faint sound of music being played in Umbertide as part of some popular celebrations. So I hope you enjoy a sample of the Italian soundscape. Thank you. We just heard a recording of the Italian countryside of Umbertide, near Umbertide in Umbria, in the center of Italy. Recordings that I made in July of 2004. And we'll continue with sounds for a film by Robert Watts, a piece composed by New York composer David Berman in 1968. David Berman was living at Stony Point in 1968, and that's where he made all the recordings for this piece for a film by his friend Robert Watts, which he then combined with sounds from some of his homemade synthesizers that he was working on at that time. So let's hear a sound for a film by Robert Watts, a piece by David Berman.
Thank you.
We just heard the music of David Berman, and we'll follow that with some recordings from country of Colombia, recordings of birds, the birds of Colombia, as recorded by ornithologist Mauricio Alvarez. Mauricio has been traveling around the country for the past 10 years at least, recording bird songs and soundscapes, and he has compiled an incredible library of sounds that he keeps and occasionally publishes on CD, and excerpts of which he publishes on CD, and he keeps these sounds as part of the archives of the Instituto Alexander von Humboldt institution devoted to biological research in Colombia. So let's hear a selection from three of Mauricio Alvarez's CDs with his recordings of the birds of Colombia.
Thank you. Thank you.
And after this selection of the sounds of the birds of Colombia, recorded by ornithologist, Colombian ornithologist Mauricio Alvarez, we'll finish our program for tonight with an excerpt, the first 20 minutes of La Selva, a soundscape composition by Spanish composer Francisco López from 1997, made with the recordings he made in a biological station in the rainforest in Costa Rica. Thank you. And with the density of the Costa Rican rainforest as captured and composed by Spanish musician Francisco López, we end tonight's edition of Giant Ear, the program of the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. My name is Ricardo Arias, and thank you very much for listening. Good night.